Class is back with Helena. Let's talk today about the question, do you need a man? Ask yourself this question. I mean, let's really have a talk, ladies. Do you think you need a man? Nowadays, women have more education, whether it's degrees or certifications. They are financially independent, purchasing their own homes, have credit, raising their children. The question is, what do you believe? Because we can look at the world as much as we want, but we know when we go home, what does it look like to you? Especially if you are a single woman, do you think that you need a man? Is he optional to you? I have asked myself this question, and when I ask myself this question, my answer is yes. I have never in my life said, I don't need a man. I'm an independent woman. I'm a strong woman. I don't need a man. I have never had that mindset, and I never will. And if this is your mindset, we may have some conflicts and bump some heads. Because the first thing I'm thinking, and I don't try to shift anybody's thinking. I'm just saying you're not going to convince me otherwise. And I'm not going to really go out of my way to convince you otherwise if that's drilled in your head that you don't need a man. And I'll share with you, of course, the reasons why I believe that I do need a man, even though I am a single woman. Independent, strong. I've been an entrepreneur over 15 years of my life, full time, and take good care of my daughter. That does not mean that I want to be a single mother. But I've also never played the single woman and the single mother victim card either. It's not something I want to do, but it's something that I'm doing. And I'm in a position now in my life where I can actually sit back and think about it. How do I view men? What do I think about men? And so the conversation started with my daughter. As mentioned, she will be turning 12 this month of May 2021. And that's the age of accountability to me. As an age, Jesus comes on the scene, and that's the age where I learned my purpose. I found out when I was 12 that my purpose was teaching. And I look at my daughter, I'm like, wow, she's so little and she's so young. She's still so naive. But I asked her one day, how did she see her life? And she said, I see myself going to Cal Arts, which is an art school that Disney, Walt Disney created. And it's in California, and her goal is to become a character animator. And so she said, I want to go to Cal Arts and become a character animator. And I want to live in California, and I want to drive a white Jeep, and I want to have a husband and children. And I want us to build a really great family. When my daughter said this, when I tell you that there was such an immense sense of happiness that poured over me that I was like, where did that come from? Because since I am a single woman, single mom, and entrepreneur, she could have easily said, well, I'm gonna get my degree and live happily ever after, pursuing my passion and travel the world. I never pushed the thought of getting married to her. But I also have always told her the value of men, the value of women, the value of marriage. Because society has completely reduced men and women. So men are reduced to money and sex, and women are reduced to babies and sex and their looks. But I never wanted my daughter to look at men and women like that. And the fact that she said that she wants to be married with her husband and have children. And I know it doesn't seem like much, but in this day and time, you don't know what your child is going to say. And so it brought so much pleasure to me. that she knows that she needs a man. Even I asked her that too. I said, do you feel like you need a man? And she said, yes. And I said, why? And she said, well, what would the world look like without men? Even if I personally could get by without a man, I couldn't see this world without men. Okay, ladies, this is the wisdom of a child. Even though you don't feel like you need a man, that does not mean that you should reduce the value of men. We're talking about civilization. Men are an essential part of life, and so are women. I couldn't imagine a world of just women, and I could not imagine a world of just men. We need each other. So really think about where that mindset has come, because it may have come from a place of hurt, trauma, and brokenness. We need each other. So when I hear a woman say that she does not need a man, my first thought is, do you need God? Because these same women are flooding the churches and listening to men, pastors telling them how to be women. But they don't hold the men to the same regard that they hold their pastor, and heaven forbid, the same way they reverence God. So I want to get you back to the basics, because remember, this podcast is about traditional values and bringing class back. Class meaning your feminine value as women. Okay, so let's look at this. I'm going to go to Genesis, first chapter, 27th verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Let me see that again. So God created man in his own image. Why did God do that? Because God is an omnipotent spirit, and he could not physically be here to be each of our husbands. So he has man as a flesh form of himself for you, to protect and provide for you, to protect and provide life for generations after generation. When a woman says that she doesn't need a man, and God placed this man down here on this earth that is an image of him to do the things that he can do, it's almost like a slap in the face to God. But I'm going to go a little further. Let's look at Genesis 2nd chapter 21st. Well, let's start at the 18th verse. The second chapter, 18th verse. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever God, Adam called every living creature, that was their name. Going down further to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh inside instead thereof. 22nd verse. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Have you ever noticed that when a man gets out of a relationship or even goes through a divorce, most men quickly jump back into a new relationship? Why? Haven't you even seen some of your male friends? Like, I hope we all have male friends that we can just be friends with. We don't have to always just have sex with men. I hope you're still not that broken, that you can actually just have the male energy around you and just communicate and be friends with men. And have you ever seen your male friend go through a divorce and jump into another relationship and get married again? And you're like, dang, I've been single this whole time and he's on his second wife. Men know, they may not admit it, but men know they need a woman. But a woman, this new age woman, for her to say that she needs a man is like blasphemy. Oh, I don't need a man. But you were taken from the rib of a man. And yes, and created from that rib. And God breathed life into you to be the image of God, to connect this with the spirit of this man. You both are spirits connected that need each other to thrive in this world. God came down as flesh as this man. He created him for you. And he created you to be a part of him. We are interconnected. We need men. You need a man. And so let me tell you my own personal story. So I was at the age of 14 years old, I started taking care of my grandparents. My first my grandmother, called her granny. She was diagnosed with cancer, and she started chemotherapy and radiation, and her health really started to decline. But I was her caregiver. I would take care of her, bathe her, give her meds, and make the meals and everything. And then shortly after, when we lost my grandmother, my grandfather's health declined, and I started taking care of him. When my grandparents died, my brother, so I started taking care of my family at 14, and I've been taking care of them up until this point. I'm 42. So 14 to 42, my family, first priority. My brother was 19, my oldest brother. So I'm 14, he's 19. And when I lose them, because they were my primary guardians. My mother was there, but she was in a marriage and was very active in her ministry at that time. And so my brother stepped in and became more of a father figure to me in my life. And I became, in essence, the caregiver, the person that my family looks to for help in a nurturing way as a woman, as a teenager. My first view of a man was not my father. My father abandoned me. I saw him twice when I was 3 and when I was 21, but my father was not present, but my grandfather was present. And my first relationship with a man was with my grandfather. My grandfather was strong as an ox to me. And I didn't realize that he had to be about maybe 5'10", maybe. But he seemed so much taller. He seemed like he was, 6'4" or something. He was just always just like this tall, handsome man to me. But I see pictures and I'm like, oh, he's actually not as tall as I thought. But very strong protector, provider. And my image of my grandfather was he is authority. I respect my grandfather. I reverence my grandfather. I honor him. I trust him. I never saw my grandmother talk back to my grandfather. I saw my grandfather work and come home and give my grandmother money, and she would deposit it. And she would take care of all the bills to the point where I thought she was the one taking care of our family. But my grandfather was empowering her to let her know, I trust you. Take care of the house. I'll bring home the money. I'll take care of you. And they took care of each other. It was mutual. So my respect for men started then. So it overshadowed my father not being there. Because my grandfather was so amazing to me. So when I lost my grandfather, my brother stepped into that role. He didn't volunteer, nor did I volunteer to be the people that everyone in our family calls on for help. Not as teenagers. No, we didn't volunteer for that, but it somehow became a part of our identity to take care of our family. But that same level of respect that I have for my grandfather, I then shifted to my oldest brother, who was in the military at the time. And so I honored, respect, look up, love. Anything my brother says, I do it. See, this day and time, think about it. Women don't want a man to give instructions and guidance and tell them what to do. But we were created to be a helpmeet. That means he already has a vision. He already has some ideas. He may have some instruction. Let a man tell a woman what to do now. She's going to go off and ask a million questions. But if you trust the man, he tells you what to do. My grandfather came in. Hey, Helen, I need you to pay these bills and do this and do that and do that. She said, okay, done, got it. She trusted him. And of course, men nowadays, yes, they should provide this haven of trust that you can, you know, be and operate in your true femininity. And you can, of course, if you trust your man, there shouldn't be anything you wouldn't do for him, right? But nowadays, women, you know, they don't want to take instructions and be told what to do, unless it's your boss. Boss tells you what to do, you don't like it, but he holds you accountable, you don't like it. You don't want to be in a relationship where the man actually holds you accountable to doing things. But we are helpmeet, and so that's what we should be doing. It's not being like barked at, but if he needs help, help him. So my brother would tell me while he's overseas, hey, I need you to look out for mom. I need you to look out for our brother. I need you to look out for our cousin. I need you. He's telling me all these things. And I always said, okay, okay, okay. Never asked questions. Just did it. So a huge portion of my life, as I mentioned, from 14 on up till now, I have been taking care of my family. And my brother, to me, have been just delegating to me to take care of my family. Then my brother gets into a relationship, and his marriage, previous marriage, did not work. And so this next marriage, he's like, hey, we collectively worked as a family in my first marriage. That didn't work. I think I'm going to do something a little different because our family has households. So everybody has their own household with their, you know, their relationship, their children, but somehow we became overseers of everyone's household. Make sure everybody's good. But then my brother decides, hey, I'm in this new relationship and I really want her as part of my household. I don't want to be overseeing everyone's house anymore. And he did exactly what the Bible states. It says in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So my brother has found this new relationship, and that has become a priority, and he's governing his house. I'm going to tell you, that caused a conflict between us because I'm thinking, hold on, what do I do? We've been doing this together. Now you leave me out here cold. But because of my trust and respect for him, even in conflict, and my trust in God, that means that it's time for me to have my own household. Because my house can't be governed by my brother. And that was a huge factor in my relationships. One, my relationships weren't working because I'm always taking care of my family. Family first, family first, family first. And then my brother is an authority, so I'm comparing my relationships to my brother. Like, oh my God, you're not like my brother. I'm just thinking in my head, like, oh, my brother would never do like that. So I have this person, I'm comparing myself, and I'm telling you, ladies, I'm telling you this story for a reason, because that one person that you, one man that you actually respect, maybe your father, maybe your brother, but that's the only man that you respect. Everybody else ain't nothing. You don't have any respect for any other man but your father. And so every man has to step into your father's shoes or step into your brother's shoes. And that's so unfair. And that's what happened. That's what happened. I have been unfair. I have been unrealistic with my expectations of men. My brother is my brother, not my man. Your father is your father, not your man. It's a whole different ball game. And then on top of that, I decided, hey, I'm going to be accountable. So I've been doing some work and I've been doing some seeking within myself, because I'm about to get ready to go back on to dating. And so I'm like, I want to make sure that I'm mentally prepared. Okay. And I thought about it. I said, hey, when my mother, I moved in with my mother my senior year. So when I lost my grandparents, I moved in with my mother and my stepfather. And when I graduated from college, my undergrad, I moved in, back in with my mother. Now, during that time, I never wanted to have my mother's mindset of men. Women, especially single women, be careful with the seeds that you plant into your daughters about men. How you look at men, what you think of men, how you act around men, your daughter will become just that. She will do the exact same thing. Because I told myself I was not going to look at men the way that my mother did. And my mother treated men like they were disposable. I'm going to be really honest. Okay. And I'm like, I'm not going to treat men like that. I just knew that was not right. But I remember I asked my stepfather when I was a senior in high school, like I said, I moved in with him when I was 17. And I asked him, I said, Mama always complains that you're not at home. Why aren't you at home? You know, she wants to see you and I'd like to see you more too. And he said, Helena, because he was a drug counselor and he drove a cab, and he would say, Helena, when I am working these two jobs and I'm making money, your mother complains about me not having enough time with her and not spending quality time with her. And when I spend quality time with her, she says, hey, where's the money? So I would rather focus on making money so I don't have to hear her mouth. And I was like, wow. So my mother is never satisfied. My mother is never satisfied. And as much as I said, I do not want to be like my mother, do you know that influence, that seed that was planted in me watching my mother in this prime time of 17 and 21? I started thinking like my mother. And so I had some really amazing relationships with men from college to grad school, pretty much throughout my 20s. That's usually the time when you're thinking about marriage. Every single person, I'm thinking, I deserve better. I could do better than this. I could do better. Never satisfied. Never satisfied. Great men, never satisfied. Some I let go of, some let go of me because I was just so unrealistic. I took on that seed of my mother. I have no idea the ramifications of the mindset that my mother had on my brothers, because she basically said, you are the only good guys in the world. And she had no respect, not even for my grandfather. So I don't know how that affects men, because my brothers came out pretty good and pretty respectful to women. But to me, how that shaped me, I wish I had never let that seed get in my head. And I wish I would have just taken on that, what my grandfather instilled in me of a man being, you know, authority and someone you reverence and respect. And the relationships that I had that were already good, I probably would be married and have these great relationships, or one great marriage, because I would have respected him for the man he was instead of the man I thought he could be, and trying to make somebody live up to the potential I've assigned to him and the expectation I made him live up to. So be very careful about that question. Do you need a man? Your daughters are listening to you. And men are picking up on you. They're picking up that vibe that you don't really care about them. You don't really respect them. I see memes all the time on my timeline on Facebook and social media. Where the good man at? And then the second one, I can't find a good man. Men ain't nothing. Why are all these men in my inbox? The same person says, man, I wish I could go on a date sometimes. Hold on, got men in the inbox, but you think they bothering you and annoying you? Like we're so contradictory. You need to think about what you think about men. Because you will attract what you believe. And so today I was in church service. And we were singing a song. It's one of my favorite songs. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Our God, that is who you are. And I was like, wow, what if I thought of a man like that? As a waymaker, as a miracle worker, as a promise keeper, as a light in the darkness. What if those gospel songs or those Christian songs that we're giving reverence and praise to God, and God and our men are an image of God, and what if we gave them that level of reverence and honor and really trusting and believing that, hey, you are a promise keeper. You keep your word. You are a light in the darkness. You are a way maker. We trust you, because the world will have you thinking that all men are the same. And all women are the same. But today, at church, and I attend Lakewood with Joel Osteen, so you know it's thousands of families. They're walking out hand in hand, husband holding the Bibles, and sometimes even the woman's purse. The kids are, you know, obedient and right there. Families are still alive and well. Chivalry is not dead. Men actually love their wives. Women love and honor their husbands. The world has not gone astray. It depends on what your perspective is and what you truly believe. So I'll ask a woman, so she'll say, yeah, a lot of times women don't take time to do self-improvement and really dig into their thoughts. And so instead we just go back and get a certification or take another class or get a degree, but we don't do any work on relationship building, yet we want a relationship. I really want to encourage you to build your relationship building, to build your communication skills and your value. Women need men, and men need women. And it's nothing weak about saying, I need a man. There's nothing weak about submission. In fact, it's actually powerful. To be a woman, to be in your nature of femininity and saying, I need you. God created you for me. And I need you. My purpose is found in you. My love is in you. You are the rib of a man. God breathed his life and his spirit inside of you. And your spirit will know your man, even though it says he who finds a wife. But you will know him by his fruit. You don't have to look at a man's potential. You can already see what he is capable of doing. You have instincts. That's a gift that God gave you as a woman. An instinct to tap into your insight, to see what you can't see on the outside, but you can feel when something isn't right. We've been taught that our feelings and our emotions aren't valid. Oh my gosh, he's so emotional. But emotions actually work in our favor. When something doesn't feel right, it's because it's tapped in and it doesn't work with your spirit. It's vexed your spirit. Trust that first red flag. Trust your instincts. Trust your gut, however you want to say it. Trust the energy. If the vibe is off, it's true. So you don't have to entertain everybody. But you do need to get out there and see what men, real men, are about. Because there are some great men in this world. And they all don't have to be your husband. Some people, you go through a dating site, man, if he don't even look like your husband, you have no idea that if you've looked twice and you went ahead and accepted his request, that he may be everything that you want him to be and everything you dreamed of. Sometimes the things that we want and the men that we want don't come exactly how we packaged them and how we thought they would look. And you can see some of your friends, they have marriages. You're like, man, how did he get my friend? You know, he's not what I would have pictured her being with. But yet she's the one married. Because maybe she didn't think he would be either. But he treats her well and respects her and appreciates her. And loves her unconditionally and is loyal and faithful. And she can open her heart and be vulnerable and be in her full femininity and love him. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies and we're blocking our blessings. So I'm going to close class today by saying, I understand how you feel. If you say, Helena, you said all that, but I still don't need a man, because there are women that have said, I don't have a desire to be married. And that's a whole different story. But picture your life without any man, brother, cousins, uncles, any man. What does that look like? Maybe you don't want to be married. Maybe you're okay with being single, okay? Meet Oprah. But even Oprah still has her man, her companion on the side. What does it look like with no men in your life? And everybody's not your father. Everybody is not your brother. Let a man be a man and you be a woman. And you need him and he needs you. And you both have value. And you're bringing that value together. That's worth so much more. That's worth so much more together. So that's my two cents. And that's class for today. Talk to you soon. Have a great day. Bye-bye.